السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحج أشهر معلومات، فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج، وما تفعلوا من خير يعلمه الله، وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى، واتقون يا أولي الألباب. صدق الله العظيم. فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من حج لله فلم يرفث ولم يفسق رجع كيوم ولدته أمه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. ابتدأ لازم رفز. Alhamdulillah, many of our family members, relatives, neighbors, colleagues, etc., have left for the Mubarak lands of Haramain Sharifain. We know that these are the months of Hajj, and there are many activities that we will engage in, even those who are not going for Hajj, which all link to the months of Hajj, to the activities which took place during the Hajj and take place during the Hajj. So therefore, on this occasion, we will discuss one ayat of the Quran Sharif, and we will try and take some lessons which may be applicable to us in our lives presently. So we know that Hajj is one of the pillars of Islam. From the five pillars of Islam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Buniya al-Islamu ala khamsin, that Islam is built upon five pillars: Iman, our Salah, our fasting, our Zakat, and of course the Hajj. These are compulsory upon every single believer and every single mu'min. Of course, with regards to Zakat and Hajj, it is dependent on the person having sufficient wealth for him to fulfill these two pillars of Islam. However, there is a great hikmah and there is a wisdom behind each hukam and command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Though man may not understand it, no matter how intelligent a person may be, but his intelligence can never ever understand the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is because the intelligence of man is a created entity. Our Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Mazhar Sahib Damat Barakatuh, one person came to him, and while discussing, a very intelligent person, he said, Hazrat, I am a very logical person. So everything, anything that you tell me, it first must make sense to me. So I first measure it with my intelligence. Okay, if it makes sense, then I make amal, I practice on it. But if it doesn't make sense to me, so phir main chhod deta hu usko. Then I leave it out. So Hazrat Ma mentioned to him, okay, bhai, there's lots of things in Shariat and Deen which you will not understand. So he says, like what? He says, I understand everything. What is this? So Hazrat told him, okay, bhai, when you perform Salah, you need to have wuzu. I said, now the wuzu, one of the items that breaks one's wuzu is the passing of wind. So I said, I'll ask you, when you pass wind, where do you pass wind from? You pass wind from a certain area in the body. Okay, but when you make wuzu, where do you wash? Did you wash the area where the wind came out from, or you wash your hands and your face and your feet and your masa? They say, no, you make masa and you make wash your hands, your face. Say, but you never wash that. Say, ah, yeah, that doesn't make sense. They say, but there's lots of things like that There's lots of things like that in Shariat and Deen that doesn't make sense to you. Hazrat Ali, karramallahu wajhahu, the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the fourth Khalifa of Islam, he mentioned, لَوْ كَانَتِ الدِّينُ بِالرَّأْيِ. He says, if deen had to do with logic, then at the time of making masa, when a person wears the leather socks for the purpose of masa, so we know the masala with regards to these socks, the leather socks, that the person, if he wears these socks, then from the time his wudu breaks, he can keep the socks on for a period of 24 hours. Of course, if he's a musafir, then he can keep it on for a period of three days, 72 hours. And whenever his wudu does break in between, he just makes masa. And where does he make masa? He just takes his wet hand and he passes it on the upper part of the sock. So he says, if it deen had to do with logic, then our logic would have said that when you're walking with these leather socks, the underneath of the socks are getting dirty. So you should actually be wiping the under. But Allah Ta'ala says, when you make masa, you wipe, you pass your wet hands on the top. So deen has got nothing to do with logic. It is completely, balke sarapa hi Allah ke hukam hai. It is totally the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah has said we must do it in this way. Okay, whether it makes sense to me or doesn't make sense to me, I will comply with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, every single command of Allah ta'ala does have a hikmah. The thing is that our brains and our intelligence and our logic does not have the capacity to understand every single hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In our own lives too, certain things happen in our lives which outwardly we may feel it is something which is bad. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, وَلَنْذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Each person in his own life, there are certain conditions that come upon a person. Sometimes it's conditions of prosperity. Sometimes it's conditions of adversity. Both of these are tests. When a person is experiencing a condition of prosperity, it is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That are you going to appreciate this prosperity which Allah has granted you? That Allah has given you ease in your business. Allah has given you security in your home. Allah has given you happiness and tranquility. Are you going to appreciate this bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by making shukr to Allah ta'ala, by using these bounties to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by taking this wealth and using it for the upliftment of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So that is the test. That is the test. And on the contrary, if a person faces a condition of adversity in his life, perhaps it's some health issues, perhaps it's some financial crisis that a person is going through, whatever other difficulty a person may be undergoing, there's only two conditions. Hai isi tarah se mumkin, teri raah se guzarna, kabhi dil pe sabr karna, kabhi dil se shukr karna. So either the person is going through conditions of adversity, or is going through conditions of prosperity. One of the two. That's how we will carry on in this journey to reach Allah Ta'ala. When we are going through prosperity, we should be making shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't ever forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that condition. In fact, it should humble us even more. But when a person is facing a condition of adversity, then the first thing, in the first line of action, is that we must look in our own lives. So is there something that I am engaging in, because of which Allah is sending now this condition upon me? The Ahlullah, one wali of Allah, he says that when I commit some sin, now we must know the Ahlullah, sometimes the sin for them is, for example, on one particular day they may have forgotten to read their ma'amula. That would be something bad for them. These people were walis of Allah Ta'ala, we can't understand. Our Hazrat Wala Shaki Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullahi, so clean was his heart, and Allah Ta'ala makes them reach these maqamat in these stages, that accidentally, if his eye fell onto a woman, accidentally, he would become nauseous and he would feel, become upset and he would want to vomit. So his habit would be that whenever he would make safar, and I've seen this myself, that whenever he would make safar, at the airport he would wear a scarf and he would put the scarf forward, right forward, so that even by mistake his gaze doesn't fall. So Allah Ta'ala made it such that Allah wanted to protect this wali of Allah, that even if you want to look, you will get sick. It's not for you. Now, we, the more we look, the more happy we feel. May Allah protect us. But this is a sign of a sick heart. A person who is sick, a person who is ill, then unfortunately he cannot differentiate between good and bad. It's not possible for him to. Okay, there was one incident that comes to mind. Allama Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayh. He says that there was a person who had the habit, or his job was that he used to clean the toilets. And in those days they used to have this bucket system toilets, and the old day that was his work. He would be working with this filth and this tool and urine, he would be moving it from point A to point B. That was his work. One day whilst walking, he happened to see a newly opened itar shop. So the itar shop that was there. Okay, when he walked into the itar shop, he fell down unconscious. Now people started running to see what happened to this person. They tried to revive him, he's not coming back. His brother was passing by, his brother saw this whole scene and spectacle, and he realized exactly what was happening here. So he quickly ran, and in his sleeve he brought some stool and some feces in his sleeve. And then he came close to his brother and he just passed it by his nostrils. As soon as he did this, he immediately regained his consciousness. Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah, it is what had happened, and this is an example that he gives, is that this person had become so immune and had become so accustomed to that environment of filth that when now he was exposed to some purity or some sweet fragrance, he couldn't handle it. And so this is our condition, is that we continuously commit sins and we unfortunately expose ourselves excessively to environment of sin. Now when some molisaf or somebody, some sheikh tells you, make some zikrullah, read some Quran, now we can't handle it. This is much more. Hey, this is heavy stuff now. This is for the buzruf. I can't handle it. Now the person can't handle it. Now he needs to move far away. What has happened is this person, his immune system has become so used to this filth. His spiritual immune system has become so used to sins and guna and disobedience that now it's hard for this person to even obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What has to happen is this person needs to get himself out of this environment, and eventually now the person will be able to differentiate between good and bad. He will realize that this is filth, and he will realize that this is goodness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to reach these maqamat in these levels. Nevertheless, coming back to that incident, okay, this wali of Allah says that when I commit some sin, and those days they would have conveyances, horses and so on. So he says that I noticed on that particular day my horse would become disobedient. My horse would become disobedient. So immediately when there is some disruption in our serenity, there is some problem that arises within ourselves, then our first line of scrutiny should be ourselves. That is there something that I am doing because of which Allah is sending down this unfavorable condition upon me? If that is not the case, the person is doing what is necessary, is performing his faraid, is fulfilling his faraid, his wajibat, his sunnah, is fulfilling the rights of people, he is not violating the rights of any person, he is not violating Allah Ta'ala's commands, whatever it may be, then in that case this person should regard it as a rahmat in disguise. It is a rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in disguise. The anbiya were also tested in this way. And we know the anbiya was sinless. They also had conditions of adversity. So this is the thing. And one easy way of recognizing whether some difficulty in one's life is a rahmat or an azab is that you need to see what is the consequence. What is the outcome? Is this difficulty in my life, is it bringing me closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or is it causing me to turn further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If it is bringing the person closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then now the person is picking up his hands and he's making dua, Ya Allah, please remove this difficulty. I'm weak, I know I'm sinful. It's making him turn more to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then this is a sign that this is a rahmat in disguise. And unfortunately, if this difficulty is making the person utter such statements. One person, he lost his wife, and unfortunately he had been very, very abusive to her as well. And until it came to a stage where this wife of his had to start going on medication to try and handle his abuse. And Allah Ta'ala makes her maghfirat, but unfortunately due to that his extensive abuse upon her, she eventually took an overdosage and she passed away. Now when she passed away, the statement that this person made, he actually, on that particular occasion, he went to the extent of swearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an incident which took place recently. Now, this is a clear sign that this particular adversity that came upon this person, first of all, is because of the zulm and oppression that he made upon his wife. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from this. These women and these wives of ours, we should treat them with love, with kindness. وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ Allah has interceded on their behalf. Unfortunately, he had gone to this extent of abuse, and then what was the outcome? It made him turn further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am not a mufti, but you ask the muftis, this statement of his is tantamount to kufr. And his iman is then questionable. That person who can go to the extent of insulting and swearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then his iman is questionable. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So this is a sign that that difficulty that came in this person's life was an adab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it caused him to turn further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It caused his bounties to be snatched away. Therefore we should always be concerned when any difficulty comes upon us. Let us scrutinize our lives. The first line of action, and Allah speaks about this in the Quran Sharif. مَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ حَسَنَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ Whatever good comes upon a person, attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ سَيِّئَةٍ فَمِنْ نَفْسِكَ And whatever difficulty comes upon a person, then most probably it is because of our own actions and our own activities. So nevertheless, respected elders and brothers, these conditions of adversity and prosperity which we were discussing, and coming back to the ayat of the Quran Sharif, this Hajj which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made compulsory upon every single believer, and we should have that ardent desire, that Ya Allah, also take me for Hajj. And of course it is based on that tamanna and that desire that the person has. It's got nothing to do with wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls the person. But nevertheless, in the ayat kareema which we recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives advice to the hujjaj, but that advice is applicable to us as well. Though we may not be gone for Hajj, it is applicable to us as well. For the ulama ikram state that that person who conducts his Hajj in accordance to these verses of the Quran Sharif, then there is great hope that inshallah the rest of his life will go accordingly. So Allah Ta'ala says, الحج أشهر معلومة فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج That whilst the person is in Hajj, he should abstain from indecent talk. He should abstain from anything which is obscene. He should abstain from sins. And he should abstain from quarreling and arguing and fighting. This is something that a person has to do during Hajj. And that's the occasion when generally the person is tested tremendously due to the tremendous crowds. Sometimes the person is exhausted, the person is hungry, the weather is extremely hot. The other day some person sent a message from Makkah Sharif with 40-45 degree heat. Now the heat is also tremendous. The person now can't handle that heat. He's frustrated, he's hot. Now somebody does something which unfortunately causes his temper to flare, causes him to lose control of himself. So Allah Ta'ala says, Wala jidala. Now is the time to control yourself. And that person who can control himself during those 5 days of Hajj, inshallah, there is great hope that he'll be able to control himself for the rest of his life. And this is something that we need to apply in our life. That sometimes a person says something which is upsetting, he does something which is upsetting. You gave him some instruction which was you expected him to do. Unfortunately, he upsets you. Sometimes we have to overlook that. We have to swallow that. Of course, if the person is in a position, he is an ustad, or the person is in a position of management, or the person is running some kind of an organization, now he can't continuously allow certain mistakes to take place. Otherwise, it's not really possible for him to run that organization. The ustad, now the student, keeps on making a certain mistake or certain error. So now sometimes the ustad needs to reprimand the student. Or sometimes, if necessary, that particular principal or administrator, he may have to ask that student to leave the institute. So that sometimes certain action needs to take place. However, we are working in a company. We have fellow colleagues, fellow staff members. We are not in those positions of authority. Sometimes the person will say something to us or interact in a way which is upsetting. We should learn to control ourselves. Rather, walk away from that, totally ignore it. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I stand guarantee for a house right in the center of Jannah for that person who abandons an argument, though he may be correct. Though he may be correct, he just walks away from that argument and says, but you know what, I don't have time for this argument. I've got more important things to do. Or if sometimes by saying that to you, you may just cause it to explode even further. So he says, make ma, most probably you're right. You most probably right. Jazakallah, you've got something to do. So just walk away from that. And yet he knows that he is right. And if he carries on, he's going to prove his point. He says, what's the need for me to prove my point? I know that I'm correct. Why do I need to prove anything to any person? Again, once again on this point, that if a person's integrity has been damaged, sometimes the person is working in an organization, or the person is, and now there's some accusation that has been leveled against this person. So now it becomes necessary for that person to clear his name. And this is the teaching of the Quran Sharif. Yusuf ala Nabiina alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was accused of adultery, so what did he do when he was given permission to come out of prison? He says, no. First go to those women who had accused me of adultery. Go and find out what is my affair. I want clarity on that. And after they said, no. Al-ana hashas al-haq. Ana rawatuhu an nafsi wa innahu la min as-sadiqin. That Yusuf alayhi salam is true. We are the ones who had slandered him. Once he cleared his name, now he came out. So if a person's integrity has been damaged, then it becomes necessary for that person to clarify and to respond. And if necessary, to retaliate in a proper manner. So that is a separate issue. But here we're talking about, sometimes we're just discussing, now the person is talking about the weather. Now he says, no, but the weather is like this. And next thing you know, the argument goes from one to another level. And now the blood pressure is rising and people are getting upset. This is something we should try and avoid, fighting and arguing and quarreling. Unfortunately, this is something that can destroy our iman. It can destroy, unfortunately, our good deeds. And the person who unfortunately does not have the control, the ability to control his temper, then there's a great possibility this person unfortunately can do something which he could regret for the rest of his life. He could regret for the rest of his life. How many times we've heard this happening? And the person, now the wife said something to him, and now he got upset and he responded, and now she's not going to keep quiet, so she said something back. And next thing, the person gave one divorce, two divorces, and three divorces. Finished. Now, afterwards, he realized his mistake. Now he goes to the Maulana. He said, no, but I was in my right mind. I was upset. I said it whilst I was upset. So obviously, the Maulana, first thing we will say that, have you heard of anyone who divorces his wife when he's not upset? You know, I'm very happy with you. So therefore, I'm giving you this divorce. Have you ever heard of something like that? So that doesn't happen. The person obviously is in a state of anger and upset. And now they don't. Now they look for some mufti sahab who can find some way of making three into one. Because if three is the same thing as one. So the example that is given to the person is that if the person has got three bullets and he's got the gun, and now he fires all three bullets, but once those bullets are fired, it's gone. It's finished. Now the person says to the police, no, but you know, I was very angry, very, very upset, and I fired. That's what happened. Once it's gone, finished. So we must understand it in that manner, that once the person has fired these bullets, and that is why the hikmat of Allah, that He gave the power of divorce to a man, because the man is supposed to be more in control of his emotions. If the woman folk had the power of divorce, I doubt there'll be a single marriage that left on the earth. So Allah Ta'ala has made it such that the man is supposed to be able to control his emotions. If the man is unable to control his emotions, then he's not a man in the true sense of the word. This is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kalaysa ash-shadidu bis-sur'ah, innama ash-shadidu alladhi yamliku nafsahu 'inda al-ghadab." The strong person is not that person who can floor his opponent. He can wrestle him down and put him down. In the definition of Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the strong man is that person, alladhi yamliku nafsahu 'inda al-ghadab. That when he gets enraged, when he gets angry, when he gets upset, he's able to control himself. He's able to restrain himself. That's the strong man. That's the true strong man in the definition of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us men in the true sense of the word, that we are able to control ourselves. We have complete control of our emotions. That is why Sharia says that if a person gets angry, if he is standing, he should sit down. If he is sitting down, he should lie down. And if he is very angry, then he should move away from that person or that environment that is making him angry. Sit down and drink a glass of water. Because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, anger is from shaitan. Anger is from shaitan, and this water and this wuzu and so on will cool that fire from shaitan. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. So in Hajj, this is something that every haji has to do. He has to control himself. That sometimes a person will bump you, will push you, somebody, person will, you know, upset you, enrage you. So many people there and you are absolutely nothing. Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. And then Allah Ta'ala says something. وَمَا تَفْعَلُ مِنْ خَيْرِ يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهِ. That whatever good you do, whatever good action a person does, يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهِ. Allah knows it very well. Allah is fully aware of it. And this is something that if we contemplate over it, we can develop this quality of sincerity and ikhlas. And what is sincerity? That a person does something solely and only for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Because he knows that Allah has seen it, Allah is aware of it, I don't need to show anyone else. The person today, unfortunately, one of the sickness of our society is that ikhlas is missing. Everybody is doing some action for some ulterior motive. The person is making khidmat for his parents because he's, you know, my father now, he's got a lot of money, so you know, he'll, you know, sort me out afterwards. So he is making khidmat for that intention. The person is seeing to someone who is helping someone, let me help him now, so tomorrow if I need help, he'll be there, he'll cover my back. So I'm helping him, I'm seeing him right, so he can see me right. So there's some ulterior motive. The person is building the masjid so that in the community they can all say how generous this person is. His intention is that he wants to be acknowledged in the community. Or the person is doing some service to deen, he's helping in some relief work, so that people will say, you know, how wonderful this person was, that they can stand up and give a vote of thanks for this person. So he has got an ulterior motive, he's got another agenda. Unfortunately, this is the total opposite of ikhlas. Ikhlas means that a person does it only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's not interested in any acknowledgement from anyone. He's not worried about whether people acknowledge him or don't acknowledge him. He's got Allah in front of him. And you will see, it's one of the posters there, our late Mawlana Patel Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, do for Allah's pleasure, Allah will give you from His treasure. Today you do for this person, maybe He'll give you some hadiah. That tomorrow sometimes the same person will turn around and insult you. Sometimes you do it for that person and he doesn't even acknowledge you at all. So therefore don't do anything for وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ يَعْلَمُهُ اللَّهِ. Whatever good you do, remember Allah is fully aware of it. Allah knows it. Allah is well aware of it. And therefore develop this quality of sincerity. Don't wait for people to acknowledge you. Don't wait for some thanks. Don't be such that your actions must be, you know, it must be well known. I need to be broadcasted. Okay, I did this and I did that. No, do it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and no other reason. Of course, certain organizations, it becomes necessary for them to advertise what activities they're doing because they are using public funds. So the public needs to know that they are spending their money in certain ways. But we are talking on our scale where we are doing certain actions in our own lives. Do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah ta'ala says, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى وَاتَّقُونِ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Allah Ta'ala says, take provision. So when a person is traveling on a journey, you are going from here to Johannesburg, so the person takes what they call fatfos. He takes some food, or he takes some money so that when he stops halfway, at least he can buy something for himself, so that the journey becomes more comfortable. The journey becomes more easy. In the same way, we have got a journey in this world. Every person has got an expiry date attached to his name. We are not going to live in this world forever. We also need to take provisions in this journey of ours, in this life. And what is that provision Allah speaks about? وَتَزَوَّرُوا. Take provisions. فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. The best provision is the provision of taqwa. To develop this quality of taqwa in your lives. To restrain yourself from violating any command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the best provision you can take in your life. And then Allah ta'ala terminates this verse. وَاتَّقُونِ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. O intelligent ones. O intelligent ones, develop the quality of taqwa. Fear me. It means this, Okay, that person who has got taqwa, in the definition of Allah, is an intelligent person. And that person who unfortunately does not have taqwa, may Allah protect us, he is actually the opposite of intelligent. Though he may be having many degrees to his name, though he may be a lecturer in the university, but if he does not have taqwa, in the definition of Allah Ta'ala, this person is a foolish person. He is a foolish person. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of the intelligent ones. And we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this month of Hajj, where many of us will be engaging in qurbani, remember it is not the flesh, neither the blood that reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again. وَلَكِ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. It is the taqwa in the heart that reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It must not be that we become misdaq of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, سَيَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ لَا يَبْقَى مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ إِلَّا اسْمُهُ وَلَا يَبْقَى مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ إِلَّا رَسْمُهُ. That a time will come upon my ummah when nothing will be left of Islam except the name of Islam, and nothing will be left of the Quran except the script of the Quran Sharif. Meaning that Islam will just, the person will be Muhammad, but there will be nothing else in it. No namaz hai, no zakat, no hajj hai, nothing. The person, he doesn't have salah, he doesn't have zakat, there's nothing in his life that resembles Islam. So phir khushi isme kya hai ke koi gent hai ke koi judge. So what's the difference between the person being some gentleman or Paul Peter? The only difference is his name is Muhammad. Nothing else. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Therefore we should all make an effort that during these days of qurbani, it must not just be that the qurbani becomes taking the animal and slaughtering and finish. There should be a spirit behind it. That when the person takes that animal, he's personifying and he's thinking in his life, that just like this, just like how this animal is fighting and it's got so much of life in it. In my own life, I've got a lot of evil desires and bad habits. I also need to take this knife of taqwa and I need to slaughter these evil desires for the pleasure of Allah. Just like how I'm sacrificing this animal for the pleasure of Allah, I need to sacrifice my evil desires for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let that blood flow, the blood of one's evil desires, let it flow. People will call you foolish, people will call you backwards, people will call the person Sufi Saab, whatever titles they want to call, that blood will flow, the person will feel upset. But at the end of it all, one alim was walking in Durban on the coast. A lot of people were following him. So he pointed to the horizon, it was sunrise. He said, look at the horizon now, what's happening? He said, you can see now, firstly it's dark. And now it starts turning reddish color. And then after the reddish color, it intensifies. And then eventually you see the sun starts rising. Once the sun rises, everything becomes bright. He says, in the same way, in our lives, we've got evil, dark desires in our lives. Lots of dark desires. But if the person takes the knife of taqwa and he places it upon those evil desires, na dekhenge, na dekhenge, hargiz na dekhenge, jine dekhne se rab mera ae dosto naraz hota hai. The person says, I'm never going to disobey Allah. Never ever. That Allah who has given me, jisne sar baksha, who say sarkashi zeba nahi. That Allah who has given me my faculties, how can I use it to violate His command? He says, I'm never going to do it. Now at that time there is a pain when everyone else is engaging in that sin. The person now sacrifices his evil desire. He shatters his evil desire into a million pieces. There is a pain that comes upon his heart. But he withstands the pain. He holds the pain. He bears that pain for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, what happens? The blood of the evil desires begin flowing. The horizon of the person's heart becomes red. It becomes absolutely red. But then what will happen? The sun, not only the sun, but the suns of the mahabbat and ma'rifat of Allah will start rising in that heart. And when it rises in that heart, then all darkness will disappear. And now the person will see a light and a radiance and serenity and tranquility and happiness and prosperity and joy in the person's life. Why? Because he has pleased that Allah who is the creator of prosperity and happiness, that Allah who has put sugar, sweetness into sugar cane. You think Allah can't put sweetness into our lives? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to develop these qualities. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our qurbani. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the hajj of the hujjaj. Make it maqboolan, mabrooran. Make it such that they return completely forgiven from their sins and alleviate the suffering of the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.